has anyone in here ever been caught in the act of doing something you weren't supposed to be doing? Anyone ever here ever been caught in the act, caught red-handed? You know, the other day I caught my son Seth. I've talked about him before. And I swear, every day he gets more wily and more evil. In a really good way, if that's possible. But the other day I walked into the kitchen and I caught my son Seth climbing in the kitchen on the counters trying to get candy. See, he knows where we keep, he got like a buttload of candy for Halloween, so we didn't let him have it all at once. We're not like neglectful parents. We don't want our kids to have diabetes. So we hide all the candy up in one cupboard. Well, he knows where this cupboard is, and so he decided one day that he was going to climb up on the cupboard and he was going to grab this candy. And I just happened to walk in, and this happens every day. I walk in, find him doing something he's not supposed to do, usually multiple times a day. But I walked in, and he's climbing on this cupboard, and he's reaching in, and I just see him, and I say, Seth, what are you doing? And he turns to me, and he says, no, Daddy. No, candy. No, no candy, Daddy. And he gets down like, oh, no. No, I wasn't getting candy. I was like, I was doing good things. I don't know what possibly he could be doing that merited him doing good things. I knew exactly what he was doing. But in reality, this is an accurate assessment of the process of temptation. We see something we want. We think about something we want. We find out where we can get this thing that we want, and then we take it, right? This is the human condition. This is what we're taught, by the way, at a very young age. We're taught that if you want something, you can work hard to get it. Now, this is the American dream, right? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, this has destroyed our culture because we're taught no matter what you want, no matter how bad it is for you, if you work hard enough, you can get it, and don't let anyone stop you, right? This is what you're taught, especially guys. Guys have this duct tape mentality that anything can be fixed. No matter how bad we broke it, no matter how messed up we are, you know, we don't need anyone's help. We can fix it with some hammer and a duct tape. So we have this mentality in our culture today. And again, this is the process of temptation. And the Bible sums it up like this. It says, a man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lusts and is enticed. I can tell you personally, I felt like this in my life before. Drawn away by my own desires, by the things that I want. Have you ever felt this way? Maybe you feel this way tonight. That you've been drawn by something you want, by your desires, and it's taken you captive, and it's become the most important thing in your life. Now, guess what? This can be a bad desire, or this can be a good desire. One of the best things I heard, I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he was talking about idolatrous desires. And he was saying, you can have a good desire, but when that good desire becomes more important to you than being holy and righteous, that has become an idolatrous desire. For instance, you can have a desire to have holy friends. But if that desire for you to have holy friends causes you to be mean and cruel and hateful and judgmental to the outside world and pushing non-Christians away, that good desire has become an idolatrous desire because it is now more important to you than what the Bible says. The St. Petersburg Times carried a news story about a hungry thief. And this thief went to a market to grab some sausage. He was just really hungry. He just wanted some food. And he grabbed this sausage and ran away. Little did he know, it was part of a 45-foot string of sausage. And so as this guy started running away, pulling this string of sausages, he tripped over it, fell, and the police found him tangled up in a pool of sausage. Now that is truly being caught in the act. This guy was caught red-handed. And then there's the biblical story of Aaron with the golden calf. You remember this story? Moses says, hey, Aaron, I just got to leave for like a day or two. Just keep an eye out on the Israelites. They're crazy. You have no idea what they're going to do. And Aaron's like, yeah, I got it, buddy. Don't worry about it. Moses comes down a couple days later, and Aaron's dancing naked around a golden calf with all the Israelites. And Moses is like, dude, what the heck? All you needed to do was keep an eye on him for 2 days, and you're having naked orgies around a golden calf. What happened? He was literally caught in the act, and I love his excuse. He's like, hey, I know this looks bad, but I can explain everything. We threw a bunch of gold in a fire, and this golden calf jumped out. Dude, it was crazy. He was caught red-handed. And here in the scripture, we find a story of a woman caught in the very act of adultery. And under the law of that time, she could have been put to death by stoning. But fortunately for her, she didn't get what she deserved, and she was brought before Jesus. And what could have been the worst and possibly the last day of her life turned into the best day of her life as she was transformed by an encounter with Christ. I wonder if there's anyone in here tonight who's done something that you feel like you deserve punishment. Maybe you feel like you deserve something horrible. You feel like you've done something. You say, man, if you only knew what I did, if this person sitting next to me only knew what I did, they would find another seat. They'd be like, man, I'm getting in the back. Actually, you should be in the back. I'm going to go to the front. Maybe you feel like you've done one of those unforgivable sins tonight. Perhaps your sin has recently caught up with you. Maybe you were caught lying. Maybe you were caught being unfaithful to your boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe you were caught cheating. Maybe you were caught doing something that you're ashamed of. Maybe you were caught doing something that led you to spend a night in jail. Or maybe you were caught doing something. Or maybe even worse, you weren't caught doing it. And it's eating you up inside, the guilt that you feel, knowing that you're living this two-faced life. Whatever it is, I believe that there's hope for you. I believe that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from, no matter how bad you think you are, Jesus Christ is better. Jesus Christ is greater. And he wants to come into your life tonight, and he wants to forgive you of anything you've done, no matter how heinous, no matter how horrible you think it is. Jesus Christ loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. But make no mistake about it, temptation's all around us, especially sexual temptation. You know, you only have to turn on TV for a few minutes to realize that TV is bombarding our culture with sex. As a matter of fact, I read an exhaustive study that found that 70% of all TV shows have sexual content, with each show averaging 6 sexual scenes an hour. 70% of all TV shows have sexual content, and those shows show an average of 6 sexual scenes an hour. Guess how much TV the average teenager watches? Between 5 to 6 hours of television per day. That means within one day, teenagers are taking in up to 36 sexual scenes every day. And we wonder why teen pregnancy is so high. We wonder why sexually transmitted diseases are rampant. We wonder why there's so many single parent homes, why there's so many abortions. Because we're teaching ourselves that it's okay. We're teaching ourselves it's okay to take something meant only for marriage. And then when we realize it's not all that Hollywood and all that the media has portrayed it to be, and oh crap, I have to have a baby now, and oh man, I have a disease that's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. When these things catch up to society and they realize that it's not all glamour, that man, that actress who still looks like she's 90 pounds after she had 6 babies isn't reality. When we realize these things, society begins to break down. And where do teens today learn about sex? Well, number one, the media. And number two, their friends. You know, back in the days of ancient Corinth, sexual sin was rampant. Towering above the ruins of old Corinth is a fortress called Acro-Corinth. And in the Apostle Paul's day, the temple of Aphrodite sat atop that hill. Now, Aphrodite was the goddess of fertility, and she was one of the chief idols worshipped by the people in this day and age. And in Aphrodite's temple, there were as many as 1,000 prostitute princesses that would walk through the streets of Corinth, wearing specially designed sandals that when they walked would leave the words in the sand that said, "Follow me." And many citizens of Corinth did just that. They followed them. Are we not seeing the same message being rammed down our throats today? Through movies, TV, shows, books, "Follow me." Hey, this is fun. This will give you satisfaction. This will give you joy. This is what you need. Let me tell you something. Ask anyone who's had multiple sexual partners and has yet to find love if they're happy. Find someone who's addicted to pornography and masturbation and ask them if they're happy. Find someone who has STDs or has had multiple abortions and ask them if they're happy. And I guarantee you, about 99% of the time, they're going to say no. And the 1% of the time they say yes, they're lying and inside they're broken. The things this world has to offer, the things this world says, "Follow me, this will make you happy," will not make you happy. That I can promise you. We are living in a time where not only is immorality dangerous spiritually, but it could also end your life. One reporter said, kids can get deluded into thinking that pregnancy, AIDS, or sexually transmitted diseases don't happen because they rarely happen on TV. Now, I know you say, oh, come on, we're not that naive. We know that stuff exists. Yeah, but who really thinks the first time they're having sex, oh, man, I think I'm going to get AIDS? No, you don't think about that. You don't think about the pregnancy. You don't think about the things that could harm you. You only think about the pleasure. AIDS cases among teens and young adults grew 77% in the past 2 years. As a matter of fact, in this past year alone, there were 16,839 new cases of 13 to 29-year-olds being diagnosed with AIDS. Just this past year, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Thousands more are HIV infected. Millions more are at risk. Did you know there's currently over 1 million people living with HIV or AIDS? Says a report issued by the House Committee on Children and Families. And Dr. John Ward says that is higher than we expected. It is a sign that the AIDS epidemic is just beginning to grow. The federal government has spent $3 billion of our taxes since 1970 to promote contraceptives and safe sex among our teenagers. And yet condoms, which they give out freely at schools, have a failure rate ranging between 15 to 36%. That doesn't sound too safe. One study of married couples in which one partner was infected with HIV found that 17% of the partners using condoms for protection still caught the virus. Telling our teens to reduce their risk to 1 in 6. Let me ask you a question. Would you ride a plane where the captain announced before you took off, ladies and gentlemen, we're having some technical difficulties and there's a 17% chance that we might not make it to our destination. There's a 17% chance that you might die. There's an 83% chance that everything's going to be okay, but just want to let you know, full disclosure, 17% chance that we might not be okay.